This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We've got a great show in store for you today. A lot of guests you can talk to, a lot of guests you'll hear from. So just stay tuned with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Our first guest will be Mike DeCourcy, who works for the Big Ten Network and does writing for Sporting News. He does a lot of those things. We'll talk with him about the upcoming Big Ten tournament right here on AM 870. And then later on, we'll talk with Terry Foster, the columnist from the Detroit News, and he'll talk about college and professional sports in the state of Michigan. And then after that, we'll talk with the columnist from the Detroit Free Press, Michael Rosenberg, about some of the same things about sports in the state of Michigan right here on AM 870 WKAR. So just stick and stay with us, but we also need you to spread the word around. Tell your friends and neighbors you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870. You can call us up, talk with us, share your thoughts and your comments. What do you think about the Spartans' chances in the Big Ten tournament? Do they need to win the tournament to get a number one seed overall? So, or do they just have to win a couple of games? Or is the number one seed out of their reach at the present time? So I know we'll find out next week, but what are your thoughts on that? Michigan State, and of course, after losing Brandon Dawson, how do you think the Spartans will fare? So those are just a few of the things we can talk about right here on AM 870 WKAR. And I'll be heading to some high school games tonight. Went to some last night. Be heading back tonight, tomorrow night, as we have the districts going on for the boys and the regional semifinals for the girls. So we'll talk about those things as well. So a lot going on today, and you can just get in on the action and call us up right here on AM 870 WKAR. Saw East Lansing won a big game last night, beating Gull Lake and downing them. Holt took it on the chin last night. They lost to East Kentwood. Yeah, they got off to a great start, but they just couldn't hold on. But it was a good game for Holt. A tough way to end the season. It always when it's one and done time, it's a very tough way to lose in your season. So we'll talk about some of the prep. Those prep games that went on, and we'll look ahead a little bit to tomorrow night's game and some of that as well. And let's see. Let's hear from a coach, Rod Smith, and he talks about their win last night over Gull Lake.
With the loss of Natalie Rose Brogan now, our leading scorer, and she was our three guard. We're obviously having to retool the structure of the whole team within the tournament run, which is difficult because you want to save their legs, but you also want to have the continuity on offense and the energy and the zip and the pizzazz that it takes to, execute at such a high level.
And he talked about how difficult it is. That's right, at a high level, but he talked about the difficulty of winning that game.
I'll tell you what, I love our kids out there because, I'm – it's nerve-wracking. You're glad they're out there, that's for sure, man. I mean, it's ice water in their veins. That's all it was. And I'm just super proud of the composure that they had at the end when they went down. Things didn't really go our way the first three quarters of the game, and we just hung in there, and we took advantage of some mismatches inside, and Grace Whalen had a phenomenal game. Super proud of that young lady. What I really enjoyed about Grace is she played a really good defensive half, in that second half, and she put up nice numbers tonight.
And yes, very very good game for East Lansing as they continue on, and they will play going up in the next round. They'll go against the East Kentwood, so tough matchup coming up for East Lansing. And then the day before, I was over at Lansing Eastern Field House and watching Ron Watts and, of course, the East Lansing team take out East Lansing. Lansing Eastern took out East Lansing. And we talked about the talk with Coach Watts, and he says their team has to play better.
I don't think we played our best game tonight, you know, and, you know, we're kind of out of sorts. We got out the gate pretty good, but then, you know, then we had the weather storm here and there. But, you know, we can definitely play better. And we're going to have to play better if we're trying to get to the president.
Yes, Coach Watts talked about some of the adjustments he had to make.
I think we played pretty good in the first quarter. Decent in the second. Pretty decent in the third. You know, we let, especially in the first, we let the shooters get too many good open looks. And we had to make adjustments. The guys made the adjustments that they needed to make. And I'm not sure how many threes they got in the second half. You know, so I think we made an adjustment versus the threes they got in the first half.
And they're all in action tonight. East Lansing, Lansing Eastern will be in action tonight. They're going against DeWitt. And then in the second game out at the district at Lansing Everett, the second game will be Waverly and Okemos. So they've got two good games over there, Eastern going against DeWitt and Waverly going against Okemos. In Class B, you'll see coming up tonight, you're going to have Lansing Catholic one in Eaton Rapids going up against Williamston, and Sexton were going up against Hazlitt. So you can see two good games either place you go. If you go out to Eaton Rapids or if you go over to DeWitt, you'll just have or actually in Lansing Everett, you can see two good games at both places. If you go out to Holt, you can see Mason taking on Grand Ledge, and Jackson is taking on Holt, and that's in the boys' division. And we'll have more action in the girls' division coming up tomorrow. You're listening to AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. As you know, March Madness is with us. We'll have the Big Ten. We'll be getting underway, and sometime the Big Ten, with the Big Ten tournament. As you know, a lot of us don't think a whole much about the Big Ten tournament. Even the coaches don't think a whole lot of it. There's just still more value, I think, among players and among coaches. I think they place more value on the regular season. But since they instituted the Big Ten tournament, you have to give that a lot of credence because that's the automatic bid to get in the NCAA tournament. I've always thought it just doesn't mean a whole lot in the Big Ten because you know you're going to get at least – you know, if you have four or five teams with 20 wins, they've got six teams with 20 wins this year. So you'll probably see at least six teams get in. So what does that mean about the Big Ten tournament? You've got the six teams, or it used to be five teams, fighting for that automatic bid. Usually one of the top teams comes through. Very rarely does a team come all the way through and get an automatic bid that's was out of, you know, that was out of the loop or didn't have a good season, but that's the thing you're set with. So a lot of the coaches they don't think that much of the Big Ten tournament, or of tournaments in general, because they like to win it on the court and do it in the regular season when it really counts, as opposed to at the end of the year. Then you have to get on a roll, a little bit of a roll, and win two or three games. I mean, that means one thing. Hey, if you sucked all year and then you get hot at the end of the season, you can win two or three games and you can still get to the NCAA tournament. And that's what those teams that don't have much of a chance to get to the tournament, they know if they win the Big Ten tournament or any tournament, whatever your conference you follow, they can get in. That's the reward you get for getting hot at the right time or at the end of the season. You win two or three games. We can say now that, of course, you heard already, if you didn't see it, University of Detroit will be in the Big Dance this year. So look at him. Harvard's got in there the only conference that doesn't have a postseason tournament. The Ivy League just takes whoever wins the regular season title. They represent the league in winning in the Big Ten, in the big tournament. So, you know, they're about the only school that I feel a lot of people feel will get it right. Just going because the Big Ten tournament or any tournament, they're just about money and grabbing some money or having the school or the athletic department make a little bit more money. Other than that, there isn't really a ton of value, especially when you come from a big conference like this one. You know, at least if you have enough teams have a good year, they'll get in. That's what happens. They will usually get in. Give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports, right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we'd like to talk to you, and we want to hear from you this afternoon right here on AM 870. You know, we haven't talked a ton of NBA basketball, and we'll probably hear a little bit less NBA basketball during the month of March here. Once the NCAA tournament is done, then we can basically turn all our attention on the NBA and what teams are doing. We know in the East that Miami is the best team in the East, and of course the Knicks are coming. They're not there yet, but they're getting better. In the West, you know, Oklahoma City's one of the best teams. San Antonio's one of the better teams. So you've got good competition in the NBA. On the upper level, that's the thing. One thing I never liked about the NBA, because they let so many teams in, and usually, you know, those teams at the bottom aren't going anywhere. They're not going to win. That's just the way it is. Very, very rarely do you hear about a team upsetting a team, because you have to win, you know, you have to win best 4 out of 7. And that's hard to do if you're one of the lower seeded teams. If you come in at 7 or 8, boy, you really have to get lucky to win one. So that's the way it is in the NBA. But, you know, that's one of those programs where you say might makes right. Usually the stronger teams win, the teams that have more talent, they get out and they win games. In the NBA, you just have to have a strong team, and you can get through. You got to get through like three rounds of seven against, against Miami. That's going to be hard to do this year. Or three rounds of seven against the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's going to be hard to do this year. It's very challenging in the NBA, especially once you get past, the teams. And people will say, and analysts will say, well, you know, they saw them maybe one or two times during the regular season. Yes, they had a scouting report on them. They were scouted when they play them. But when you play a team at least 4 times or 4 out of 7 in the playoffs, you get to learn. The coaches are so good in that league. They break down every facet of your game. And they'll know, you know, where you're going to move before you move and everything you do. That's why it's so difficult to win in the league, because it is very challenging, because you have to almost change everything that you do. Players don't really, if they're getting a lot of success doing things one way, they usually will stick to it. They will stick to what brought them to the dance, what they did to get them very successful. And that's always been that way, and that's the way it is. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And let's see. The time right now is about 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Super Tuesday, a little less super this year. Still, 10 states and 400 delegates are at stake. The politics of Israel and Iran take center stage as the president and his aspiring challengers address AIPAC, and a new round of retirements shake up Congress. I'm John Donvan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Windy today, gusts up to 40 miles an hour, a wind advisory until 7 p.m. Partly sunny today and maybe some rain late today, the high in the low 60s. Windy and rainy with a low of 48 tonight. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and rain with a high of 51.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Terry Foster with us from the Detroit News. Terry, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing pretty good. We're hanging in there. What about you there, my young?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there as well. You know, you went to that Lakers-Detroit game last night, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, popped in there for a little bit. And I tell you, the interesting thing about that is when Kobe hits the shot to send it in overtime, you thought you were at the Staples Center. I mean, it was very, very loud. And but that to me, that's nothing unusual. That when the Miami Heat and the Lakers come to town, all of a sudden it's like, you know, Miami Arena East North up here and Staples Center East. So it's an interesting phenomenon.
Yes, because we know that Detroit's having a poor year attendance-wise, and the team isn't doing that well. So when the Stars come into town, the people do come out, don't they?
They come out, and they root for the Stars. And, you know, and I've always complained about this, and there's nothing I can do about it, of course, but I see so many Kobe Bryant jerseys when the Lakers are in the town, way more than Piston jerseys that you see for that particular night.
Yes, because that is something that, you know, we love for them to come out and root for the hometown team. And since they've fallen out, that's why people criticize me, because I say, well, Detroit basically is fair weather fans. They come out when they're doing well. They always do. But, boy, when the times start, you know, getting tough and more difficult, they don't stick by their team. They'll come back when they start winning again. But it's a shame that so many fans are like that. They're basically fair weather fans.
You know what? That's everybody. And this product has been so bad, I wouldn't go either. I mean, the product has been so atrocious and so bad. And early this season, who wants to go see a team that's down by 30, you know, in the first half or 20, and, you know, after like 14, 15 minutes? I like it when fans don't show up, because you're sending a message to management that enough already. Do something about this. I'm not showing up. And Earl, I think that if you keep showing up, management say, hey, they don't care. We'll just keep on putting out a bad product, or we'll skimp corners or pinch pennies and everything. They're still going to come out. So, you know what? I think fans need to send a message saying, okay, you're going to put some junk out there? We're not showing up.
Do you think that Tom Gores made a bad investment buying the Pistons when he did? I'm quite sure he didn't think it was going to be this bad.
No, I'm sure he didn't. But I mean, he had to understand that, you know, first of all, the economy was bad. The team was bad. Basically, Joe Dumars couldn't do anything for 2 years. And I think that's part of the reason why he didn't buy 100% ownership, and that the Davidson family still has 25%. He was only willing to go so far. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they turn this around or what tactics he uses to turn this around. But, you know, right now this product is almost as bad as post or pre-Grant Hill, when they were tanking games so they can get the number one pick.
Yeah, do you think basically does Dumars have one more year, or maybe a couple more years, or is he on a short, very short lease?
Well, I know he's got next year. So, this year and next year. That's pretty much guaranteed. But I think the primary thing is Gores and his henchmen are really trying to learn the league. They'll learn the people in the league meetings and, you know, figure out who is who so that they can make an informed decision replace Dumars if it comes to that.
Okay. Now, what about the Big Ten tournament? Are you heading up to Indianapolis?
I will not be going to Indianapolis. I'm going to be hanging around here, but, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, Earl, down here we have the debate. You know, I don't know how strong it is. You know, some people, you know, I'm in Michigan territory, and they're looking for so many signs to say that Michigan has caught Michigan State in basketball. You know, I'm not buying that argument, but this is an opportunity for, at least down here, with perception, for Michigan State to put the final dagger in Michigan for 1 year, to say that the Spartans are still king of hoops, which I think they are anyway because of the accomplishments this program has made and the non-accomplishments of Michigan. But, you know, I'm just an area where people want so badly to be able to say that Michigan is on a par with Michigan State or better than Michigan State. I think that's what the tournament's going to be around here. I think there's three teams that can win it, Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State. And, of course, somebody else will probably win it now. But
sure.
I think those are the squads there. And I really look forward to those games. If you want to throw, like, Indiana on a neutral floor in their home state, they might be interesting. And, you know, Wisconsin is always dangerous. But I look forward to seeing how the Big Three fare in this tournament.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm looking forward to see how the Big Three go. And, you know, because Indiana or Purdue, I mean, Purdue's been a 20-game winner as well.
Sure.
They'll you know, it's a home court advantage for both. Those, not really a home court because they played on that field house before, so we know they're familiar with it. So that might give them a slight edge when Purdue and Indiana play there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and no question. I mean, they'll get a large crowd, but you know, Indy's not that far from where we are. You know, we just head down 69, but I just think it's the Big Ten tournament. Is, you know, it's always interesting. There's always a team that gets dangerous. You're like, what were they doing the regular season?
Yeah.
And they may not win it all, but it's always, you know, a team that wins a couple games. You're like, what is up with these guys? And, you know, it could be someone like that this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So yeah, so we've got so much going on, Terry, during this time of year with the basketball tournament. You know, getting on in the NBA. I said people won't really concentrate on the NBA till after the NCAA tournament is over, and then they can look forward to big college to professional basketball. And of course, we got baseball right around the corner. So this is a great month as things are getting ready to get really heated up for the summer months or for the spring months.
Yeah, and you know the thing about baseball. I mean, I think we had a report that Cabrera and Inge are working out together at third base, and maybe Inge is trying to show him a few things. But the Tigers are that team that you can't take your eyes off of. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they're going to score 10, 12 runs sometimes, and then, you know, obviously there'll be those games where they're going to have to win 3-2, and can they do that? But this is a pretty potent team, and it's a team that draws fan interest. Everybody wants to see Prince Fielder and Miggy and Verlander and people like that. So I think baseball is going to – it's really going to be electric around here. But let me tell you this, on the flip side, if the Tigers don't win that division, people are going to be – outrage here, and that'd be one of the bigger protests that we see.
Yeah, that maybe you could tell me why I'm a little bit nervous about it. I'm not so sure they're going to win that division. Maybe it's because everyone keeps saying or thinking that they're going to win the division. I'm just saying, wait, let them pass the old eye test a little bit, because I'm not ready to jump on the bandwagon right now.
Well, I guess I'm going to ask you, who's going to win the division? The White Sox have throwing up the white flag. And, you know, Minnesota's always dangerous, but they're beaten up already. Kansas City is a team that's, you know, it's positioning itself to become a division winner at some point. But I just don't see the competition there. I think really the main competition for the Tigers is everybody else. Can they beat Texas or California, the Yankees or Tampa in the playoffs? I think that's what it's going to come down to. And if they don't win the division, I think, you know, it'd be one of the biggest upsets in sports.
And, you know, that's one thing that we've seen over the years. Whenever a team is really expected to win the division and do what the Tigers are supposed to do, a lot of times teams don't do what they're supposed to do, or at least we think they should do.
Right, and that happened to the Tigers when they brought in Renteria and all those guys and finished last. And I mean, they lost the first three games to Kansas City. You're like, uh-oh, we got a little problem here. So, I mean, anything is possible. To me, baseball is the most unpredictable sport from day in and day out. You never know who's going to win. But, you know, if there was another team that I thought was decent, I wouldn't guarantee the division. But I just think all the other teams are just bad.
Yeah, they are. There are a lot of bad ones. Well, there's one team we don't have to worry about. We know they're consistent year in, year out. They're good every single year. The Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, that's what they do. And right now, I know they've lost a few games, and I think part of that is they were on such a roll that I don't think it's really paramount that they keep winning. I think now they've got an injury. Let's get these guys better. Let's get them healthy. And then when the playoffs are about to start, let's get them back together again and get some chemistry back and then see if you can do something during the playoffs. But, you know, the Wings, I just think that mentality here, and a lot of it is a shame, is it doesn't really matter what happens during the regular season.
Yes.
People got excited about the long, winning streak at home. And then when they lost two straight home games and three in a row, it was like, hey, you know, I told you this team wasn't that good. I told you they weren't going to do this for the playoffs. So it's just a strange phenomenon around here where it doesn't matter what you do now. It's what you do in April and May and June.
Oh, so true, so true. And hopefully we'll see another good April. That's the one thing I like about hockey, and I always differentiate with them, their playoffs is close to the NBA playoffs or baseball or any others, because if you get a hot goalie, he gets hot in those last 10 to 12 games, they can carry you a long, long way. And we've seen so many teams get that hot goalie and come out of nowhere and, win a cup or at least get to the finals. But that's what happens in the sport like hockey. You just need the goal, and you just need that one person, usually it's the goalie in hockey, to get hot. He can carry you a long, long way.
Yeah, no question. I love seeing that, too, man. That's why I get addicted to the NHL playoffs. But I guess the one thing that I don't like is that they call it differently in the playoffs, and they keep saying, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let the dudes play. And I think the playoffs, your star players are hampered more than in the NBA and all the other. The NBA, Kobe Bryant and LeBron James.
Yes.
You're going to get the opportunity to shine. Now, you might fail, mm-hmm. but they're going to give you that opportunity to look good. And the NHL, I think they let clutch and grab a little bit too much, and I just wish they would crack down on that a little bit more. You know, they keep saying every year we're going to do it, but
right.
I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't see it. They do confess that they'll do it. They say that year in and year out. One of the other thing I'm concerned about for Michigan State, and basically for Big Ten teams when they get to the tournament, because, you know, they're going to come up against all those other referees from other conferences and things who aren't used to such a physical way, the way the Big Ten calls games and the way the Big Ten teams play. And I'm a little bit concerned. Years usually year in and year out, they do have to. The players have to make those adjustments to the officiating once you get to the tournament.
You know what? I'm going to be the exact opposite. I'm not concerned. From what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, and I understand why you're concerned. But I guess what overrides that for me is that I just think the Big Ten is the best conference. Now, a lot of times when the Big Ten teams play each other, some of those games are ugly. Mm-hmm. Now, we had a great game with Michigan State and Ohio State, and it didn't turn out the way that, you know, the Spartans wanted. But artistically, it was a great game.
Yeah.
I think when other teams look at the Big Ten, they're going to think, okay, if we just stop them from slugging it out with us, we can win. But I think some of these teams can get up and down the court. I think they can be artistic against other teams. I don't think it's going to be as slugfest when they play other people as it is when they're playing each other. And so the officials won't play as big a role in these games. I think the Big Ten is going to do well in the tournament. It wouldn't surprise me if they got one or two teams in the Final Four. And I think they're going to show people that some of these ugly games are just simply because it's two teams who are talented and know each other very well. And once all that's removed, I don't think these other teams are going to be prepared for that.
Well, you know, I'm one, just about everybody in this Midwestern area is hoping that Northwestern finally gets in, gets their first invite to the big dance. Do you think Northwestern's got enough? Will they have to win, one game? Or either will they have to win two games to get invited to the big dance?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make it, dude. I think.
Yeah. Break my heart.
I know a lot of people want to see it. I got a Wildcat on staff here at the radio station here in Detroit, but. You know, I think they blew their opportunity when they were up against Michigan and didn't win that game. There's a couple other games that they, you know, probably could have won and didn't do it. Looks like they're going to me, they're going to be just on the out of the tournament. I don't know. I don't even know who they play in the first round. I guess I need to see that.
Minnesota. They play Minnesota in the first round.
You know, that's a coin flip. Mm. I bet you the Gophers get them.
Oh shoot! I'm gonna go with the Wildcats.
Okay, go ahead. Maybe
you
get that win. Maybe they get in.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm hoping. Get that one win, losing the next round. That should be enough to get them in. They've got 18 wins, so an 18 team win. Usually, we've seen teams from the Big Ten get in with 18 wins, and hopefully, they'll be one of those teams. I mean, six teams in the Big Ten is showing what a year it is. Six teams have 20 wins in the Big Ten this year. Two have 18. So you've got eight teams who potentially could all get into the tournament this year.
I think what the Big Ten has done, let them in, man. Maybe they deserve it. And And maybe Northwestern is just a victim of a very, very, very talented conference. I'd love to see him in there too, but I know how these things work.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe there's a sentiment on that committee that they want Northwestern in there. And, you know, 18 wins or 19 wins is not bad, particularly when you're in the best conference in the nation. Mm-hmm. And I still stand by that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. I mean, when I look at these matchups for the first round of the Big Ten tournament, we've got some pretty good matchups. I mean, Iowa and Illinois, if Illinois ever gets their thing together, get their ship turned around, that could be a pretty good game. Iowa and Illinois, that's 11:30 or 12:30 here tomorrow. Then you've got Indiana-Penn State. That will be more likely a blowout. Then you've got that Northwestern and Minnesota game, which should be pretty good. And then you've got Purdue versus Nebraska, which will probably be a blowout.
Yeah. Well, you know, three of the five games, I have no idea who's going to win. Well, two of the five, you know,
which
is pretty good for the first round because usually the first round's just formalities. And, so, you know, Nebraska and Penn State, you know, it'd be great if they were playing each other in football, but in basketball, those are two very embarrassing programs.
Yes, they are. And that was funny. I mean, we sort of knew that and reading everything about Nebraska when they came into the conference that they didn't have a strong basketball team and they're taking it on the chin, which they have taken it on the chin this year. They're going to have to really upgrade their recruiting and get their team to play at a high level in the Big Ten. If not, they'll just be a consistent also-ran. They could be another Northwestern in the Big Ten.
Well, you know, Earl, you know you're a bad program when your claim to fame as a high-profile basketball player is Mikey Moore. That's what Nebraska
is. Oh, yeah, I almost forget about Mikey. Yeah, I remember when he came here and played in the game all those years ago when he was their best player. And I guess he's been the best player ever since. They haven't had anyone come in even as good as him at this time.
Oh, he's a signature now.
They'll
probably retire his jersey number.
Oh, that'll be something, Terry. Hey, the sports we know we love the sports. We've got a lot of great sports in Michigan, whether college or the pros. So it is. It's nice to follow those. And of course, in college, the college games, as you know, they're so much more competitive. You know, so much animosity among programs and the colleges. Whereas the pros, we're always looking for teams to have that competition or have that fight against each other. And we see in the pros, the players, they're such good friends on almost all levels. So it's hard to get those competitive juices going, at least for the fans to go to and looking at it and have animosity. But you still have it in a lot of colleges among the fans.
Yeah, and maybe in the college level, it's too much animosity. But you know what? At least there's some passion there.
Yes.
We all know that the Wolverines and Spartans really love one another and stuff. So I think it goes a little bit overboard sometimes.
I agree.
Errol, we just had a story here in Detroit where some people were wearing Chicago Blackhawks jerseys, and a guy came out, got out of his car, and hit some guy because of the jerseys that some people were wearing. So, you know, I mean, we still get stupidity in the professional sports.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate to see. And I know we've had was incidents at Penn State and I believe Wisconsin where people were wearing different jerseys and people attacked them. It's unfortunate.
It is, and unfortunately, we'll probably always put up with that in sports. We used to hold our noses up, think about all the hooliganism in soccer, but I think you can look at football, baseball, basketball, all the other sports in the United States that we love and think is so darling. They have a lot of hooliganism too.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, here in the Big Ten, we always say, well, it only happens at Ohio State. Well, that's not the case anymore.
No.
It happens, probably happens to a certain degree on every campus. Maybe not Northwestern, where they don't really care, but who knows about that either. But look, on game day, let's just enjoy it. Cheer for your team. You know, if you see someone from an opposing team, just say, okay, dudes, you got us today. We'll get you next time.
Okay. Hey, Terry, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get together and talk a little bit of Tiger baseball the next time or talk a little bit more, as we'll probably be right around the season opener. And we'll give a little heads up and tell the folks what they can expect from the Tigers.
Right. I'll see you at the Final Four, too, buddy boy.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Terry. Terry Foster from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Anthony Montoya is a convicted murderer who has spent 32 years, half his life, inside a Colorado prison that is filled beyond capacity, often with other aging prisoners who have spent decades inside. Now a new program aims to get aging offenders like Montoya out of prison and keep them out. I'm John Donvan. The challenges of aging in prison. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
There's a wind advisory until 7 p.m. for gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Partly sunny and maybe some rain late today, the high 63. Windy and rainy with a low of 48 tonight, a mix of rain and sun and a high of 51 Thursday. Friday's outlook sunny and much cooler with a high down to 39. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. And as you know, this time of year, you've got a ton of sports going on. You've got the basketball playoffs in high school right now taking place. You've got the Big Ten tournament coming up. You've got hockey playoffs coming up. In the CCHA playoffs are going on right now. You've got those in the NHL playoffs will be coming up later, shortly in another month or so. So you've got a lot of things going on right now. Of course, for all you golfers, you've got the Masters coming up in April. So a lot of things getting ready to go off here in Big Ten country. And we know that whatever sport you like, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, or hockey, or, you know, with the baseball or the Big Ten. So much going on right here on AM 870. We're glad to talk about it, talk with you about what's going on in and about the world of sports. And, you know, we've got the big two big stories in football. You've got Peyton Manning made his retirement official, and he'll be signing on with someone else. He still wants to play football. He made that perfectly clear today. He wants to continue his career, so he'll be looking to sign elsewhere. So, and we've got, of course, the hitting grief, and right now New Orleans is the only team that's going to get fined and everything. If you think that New Orleans is the only team that was putting out bounties on players, that means either you're naive or something. But you know, it's not the only team that's doing it. It might be the only team that's gotten caught thus far, but it certainly has been something that's gone on for many, many years in the National Football League, and coaches have given out bounties for a long time. You know, they necessarily don't want to, you know, they want the player to miss the game while they're playing him. Maybe that'll get them hurt in the next game, so the next team won't be able to have to face them. But that is the key. When you got a star player, hey, the bounty's on his back. That's the way it is. The bounty is on his back. So that's one of those things in sports. And, you know, yes, you hate to see it happen. You hate to see stars. And when you look at it in the past, you can talk about all the great players that careers were shortened because of bad hits, illegal plays. A lot of players lost because of concussions and such. Football is always, it still is, they're trying to make the sport safer. And I take my hat off to the commissioner and the people in the league. We're trying to make the sport safer because it should be safer. It should be a fun game. But you can even look back. I will say you can even look back in high school. You may not, have heard of. They may not offer bounties per se in high school, but what they can do, they can sort of look out with the other teams, and when you look out at the bounties, and I just remember coaches even in high school saying, "Boy, if you can get that guy out, you know, knock him out." They wouldn't tell you that necessarily to knock him out, but hey, do what you can to get the guy out of the game if you can. That, you know, I've heard that saying even when I was in high school. That was back in the '60s. So you might hear from some people, you know, want to know, how if they want you to get that guy out. So that starts really in high school all the way up through colleges, through the pros, if they even get that high. It's not necessarily a bounty system in the high schools or in colleges, but they want you to get the best player on the opposition out of the game to give your chance a better chance of winning. You know, because winning, as I've said often, winning is everything in the pros. You know, losing is nothing. You're going to lose your job if you lose. Yeah, that's what you say. That's what you know. You know, if your team can't win enough games, you're going to lose your job. That's the way it is in the pros. That's the way it is in colleges. You know, you have to win at these levels, and to win good and to win big, to the victors goes the spoils. So everybody has to win at this level, you know, because the people don't accept losing. And that's unfortunate. That's one thing I just have to get used to it. It's hard to get used to it, but people want to win all the time. They don't care how they do it. They just want to do it. They just want to win. They're look to cut corners and do everything they can, but they'll look at every aspect of a game and figure there's a way their team should win. In all honesty, when you look at every game in the league, in whatever conference you follow, and you can see some games, you can always point out aspects. Well, if I had made a play here or a play there, we could have won the game. If we had made a play here, that would have helped us, you know, but we didn't make a play. So that hurt us. That might have cost the game. And you can almost look at almost every game. You can see maybe two or three plays, maybe three or four plays that you can say contributed to losing the game. But, you know, it's almost that way every year. You know, you can always look at a few plays at a game and say, boy, if we had did more this, and this right. And then, fortunately, so many people think they should have done it right. Why? Or in essence, you know, I always get a laugh. Well, we shouldn't have called that play. Well, you should have called a play that you knew guaranteed would work. I say that's what they thought the play they called was going to work, but it didn't work out. So then, you know, you play that sort of game. That's that's something that you just have to deal with. Well, got another little cut for you. Talked with Draymond Green, and he's talked about, and this is what a lot of kids who are growing up playing basketball, they should learn. He didn't play a great deal of attention to school, and Draymond is talking about how he has matured over the years.
Now, school, early on, you know, not here, but back in high school, school wasn't my focus. You know, it was really all about basketball, and you know, as I got in some trouble, you know, had to turn my focus on the school and, you know, make school important. But you know, I really think I've grown as a student. You know, I was never dumb. I was always smart. It really didn't matter. You know, it was always, I'm going to make it with basketball. You know, that's what I'm going to do. And didn't really understand that without school, you know, you can't make it with basketball. So you know, I think I've grown a lot. And then coming in here, you know, making sure you stand on top of your stuff, you know, not having to have Elliot, our academic advisor, calling you for every single thing, you know, not them not having to schedule you a tutor. You going to schedule your own tutors if you know you need one. Just being more responsible as a student, I think I've grown a lot.
And that's Draymond Green. And yes, that's what kids need to start really paying attention. If you've got a chance to get a college scholarship, you're in high school now, start paying attention to your studies. Start developing good study habits. We know it's hard. So many kids think they're going to get to the NBA. They're going to play there. They're going to be a one-and-done player. Well, we know the reality is the majority of players aren't going to be one-and-done players. They're going to have to play 4 years or 3 years. You're going to have to do something to get in the league. So that's unfortunate, but you like to think that kids will get smart, will rise up, just like Draymond Green wised up. He realized, you know, he can't make it without the education, and he made it through. So many kids, you know, drop out after 1 year, think they're going to be in the NBA, and after 1 year, if they don't get drafted, they'll still think, well, I might be there in a couple of years. Then they might end up being a vagabond, just playing basketball overseas, maybe playing in the States somewhat. It can be a tough life, but that's why you should stay in college, get your degree, finish up, because the harsh reality is that, you know, everyone can't make it to the NBA. That's just about an impossibility. 1 to 2% make it out of every year. So, but unfortunately, you have probably 90% think they're going to make it in the NBA every year. You know, and that's just Division I. That's not even talking about Division II NAIA or Division III basketball. But, you know, all the kids who play the game have been playing the game since they were a little kid. They all believe that they can make it in the league. They're going to be the ones that are going to beat the odds and get the job done and get to the league. And of course, you can always see it when you see those few kids. Like, you know, you look at, for example, like Jeremy Lin. He stuck with it. He got cut several times, as many of you know, have read about by now. But he got with the right team and got with the team, the Knicks, that can help showcase his skills. And that's one thing about basketball. You get drafted or you get picked up by the team that doesn't really have a chance to showcase your skills. You know, you're tough. I've known about a few players that got drafted or got picked up by a team, and they really played well. And then guess what? They asked for a lot more money in the contract. The team didn't want to sign them. They just were out there. And a couple of players, if I could go back, I'd have to go back a few years and look up their names. But they never were picked up again. Sometime they went back and they were drafted in the NBDL like that, but they really don't have a chance to get with someone. So you have a lot of players like that who one team might pick them up and they might do well, and their game just fits well with that particular team. It doesn't happen to everyone, but it does happen from time to time. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Jacob Bodman is with me today. So let's talk a little bit about this Big Ten tournament, Jacob. What are you expecting, especially in the first round coming up today?
Well, I expect, obviously, some good games. And I mean, there's some good games in there. Some teams that I don't think, you know, I, like you said, Purdue and Nebraska is probably going to be a blowout. But there should be some good games in there. It's always the first round's kind of hit or miss. It's either going to be a blowout or there are going to be some surprises. So it seems like it's been a good year so far this year in other tournaments for some good games. So I'm hoping to see some good games.
I think you will. The league is so good this year. You've got six teams with 20 wins. So I would expect you're going to see a few good games during the tournament. Whether Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan, if they can somehow, only two of those three can get to the two of the finals. Do you think, though, that two of those three will get through and play in the championship game?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if you look at it, I think Iowa-Illinois, I think, is a decent game tomorrow. I think, Illinois has been struggling, but they're kind of playing a little better as of late. I think Indiana-Penn State's probably a blowout. Northwestern-Minnesota's probably a good game. And then you have Purdue-Nebraska, that's a blowout. MSU, their game is either going to be against Iowa or Illinois. I think it probably will be Iowa, but I think that's a pretty favorable matchup. But both of those teams aren't very good. Wisconsin, Indiana, and Penn State. Wisconsin, Indiana, that game would probably be really good, assuming Indiana beats Penn State. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they should beat Penn State. But Wisconsin, Indiana, I think would be a really good game. And then Northwestern, Minnesota. This would be interesting because, Michigan played Northwestern twice this season. That game went to overtime both times in Ann Arbor and then in Evanston. So if they play again, that's a really good matchup. It seems like that's been a really good matchup for both of those teams this season. So that would be an intriguing game. And then Purdue and Ohio State, the assumed game, would also be a good game. So there's some really good there's a couple good games in the first round. But I think the second round on Friday has the potential to be a really good second round.
Yes, you should have nothing but good teams in that round.
And like you said, I think MSU has a really good chance of going into the semifinals in that matchup. Wisconsin, not so much. If they get Indiana, I think Michigan could be in trouble if Northwestern wins that game. And I think Ohio State could be in trouble if Purdue wins that game. So, I don't think any of the top four seeds or really any of the top three seeds are particularly safe in this second round.
That's for sure. Well, you know, Jacob, there's been a sport going on, and usually I talk about it every year, and I haven't mentioned it at all this year. It doesn't get much mention at all in most cases. But do you ever follow the Iditarod?
I do not follow the Iditarod, unfortunately, no.
Oh, it's always a fantastic race up there in Alaska, and this year it looks like it's going to be another good race. Musi Aliki Zirkle is maintaining her dog race, her lead in the Iditarod. So she's a 41-year-old musher, and she's arrived at the checkpoint in the village of Tacantinut, and a half hour later by defending champion John Baker. So she's doing well thus far, and that's always a grueling race. I mean, to rush those dogs over 1,000 miles where they have to go, that's brutal every year.
I do not envy them, but I won't sit here and pretend like I know anything about the strategy of the Iditarod, how that works.
Yeah, I just like following it. It's just fun to follow and see. I mean, you know, it takes a heck of an athlete to have the guts to get out there, even though, yes, you live in Alaska, as brutal as the weather is there, and then to do that, ride your dogs over thousands of miles. I mean, you have to have a special dog team, and you know, and that's just such a grueling race. I take my hat off to anyone who competes in the Iditarod.
Yeah, absolutely. No kidding.
And so give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We're covering all sports. We even bring up and talk about the Iditarod a little bit right here on AM 870 WKR. Well, you know, baseball season is right around the corner. So, Jacob, you better start boning up on baseball.
I know. I've always I'm one of those casual baseball watchers that has it on in the background while I'm doing something else. And, you know, I enjoy watching it. It's just a long season, and
yes.
It's hard to keep track of the entire time, but you know, I do enjoy baseball. I watch baseball every once in a while.
And they say you have to watch at least a quarter of the season. So that means around 40 games. After you've seen about 40 games, then you've got a good idea of where your team might go, where they'll finish. Sometime a team gets hot at the end of the year and sneaks in the pennant chase or gets to a championship. But most of the time, after those first 40 games, you generally know how your team's going to do.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe to say. But we'll see. You know, it's it's a sign that spring is coming, that's for sure.
Yes, it is, and that's the fun sign, because we're here. This has been a pretty mild winter. We got to admit, this has been a pretty mild winter this year, hasn't it?
Yeah, I can't complain, although I still am enjoying the fact that it's 60-some-odd degrees outside today, but the fact it's going to get down to 35 on Friday kind of, you know, scares me, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the good thing. That's not the good thing, but, you know, in Michigan, you get that good weather for a while, then it goes back to being cold again. Or it'll be nice for a day or two, and then it'll jump back and be cold again. We get used to dealing with that, but that's Michigan weather, Michigan winters. Always, you know, a couple of good days and a couple of bad days. Sometime a bad week and then a few good days.
Hey, the weather is very tough for, you know, you have these college sports starting up, softball and baseball. It's hard for them to, I mean, you just can't play in this weather right now, and it's difficult for them to get a lot of home action, and that's the problem.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, it's always a pleasure talking a wide variety of sports here. Now, you know, Michigan State gets in action on Friday. How do you think about their chances against Miami, the hockey team?
My roommate is a big Michigan State hockey fan, so for him, I will say they have good chances. But no, they've had a pretty decent year this year, at least better than last year. So I think, but Miami's always a great hockey team.
Yes,
so
is.
You know, it'll be a good game, I'm sure.
Okay. Hey, thanks for you all. I want to thank all the fans for out there for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here.